And then it goes back to what I said earlier on. When I come from the military and become a stuntman, I'd always, you know, wanted to do a job, you know, where I thought it was going to be life-threatening, which just sounds weird to everybody else. Yeah, but when you come from the military, you're putting your life on the line a lot, and you do get a buzz from that, you know? Yeah. When you get the Grim Reaper coming to look at you, you're like, you have to pick your game up, and you're dueling with him. And, you know, this job come up, and it's like, yep, this is going to be dangerous, and then we started doing it, and it was.
Hello and welcome to Cunning Stunts with myself, David Holmes. Ever since I was a teenager, I've been performing as a stuntman on feature films. And for 10 years, I was the stunt double for Harry on the Harry Potter films. Whilst preparing a stunt for the final film in the series, I suffered a spinal injury that had the effect of paralysing me from the chest down and ending my career. However, in the decades since the accident, my love of stunts, the stunt performer community and movies has never wavered. So I'm starting this podcast to highlight and pay tribute to the amazing performers who make up the stunt community, giving you first-hand accounts of the work that goes into crafting some of the mind-blowing action scenes you've seen on films such as Star Wars, Mission Impossible, and The Avengers, while also revealing the grit, talent, and bravado of those that risk their lives in the name of entertainment. One quick note, the other voice you'll hear occasionally is Dan Radcliffe, one of my best friends and acting double on the Harry Potter films. He's been sitting in on some of these interviews. So, after a week off, we're back, and today you're going to hear our interview with the lovely Dave Garrick. Dave was in the parachute regiment for over a decade. His love for jumping out of aeroplanes continued when he became a stuntman, and he was part of the incredible stunt team that performed the opening sequence in Batman The Dark Knight Rises, which involved jumping out of a Hercules aircraft doing 130 knots at 13,000 feet. You'll hear this story and many others, including what it's like to be punched in the face by Robert Downey Jr. Dave has an incredible list of credits, including Bond, Batman, Reign of Fire, Sherlock and Doc Martin, one of his favourite jobs and locations. Anyway, here's our interview with David. Hope you enjoy. So, Dave, thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Obviously, we're talking about the stunt industry and your career. Can you introduce yourself, please?
My name is David Garrick. Been a stuntman now for 20 years, which is a fair bit of time. Body knows it.
Yeah.
Yeah. An industry that I've loved and enjoyed and still do.
Yeah.
There's not many jobs you can do, and you enjoy getting up in the morning and going to work, and you work with all your pals. Yeah, doing some great things now and again, so, yeah.
Brilliant. And do you mind just telling us your introduction to the stunt industry and your previous military history?
Yep. So, where does the story start? Well, so I sort of grew up on a council estate in Peckham and sort of got into a lot of mischief when I was a kid. I had to learn to fight when I was young, so that got me into boxing. So it was, that kind of skill coming pretty handy when I was a kid. And one thing I loved was action men. And I wanted to be that action man. I wanted to do all those things he could. So being a soldier was an important part of my journey. So that was there. And as I started getting latter in my early teens, I thought, you know what, a stuntman would be pretty good. So I ended up doing 14 years in the forces, a fair bit of that in the special forces.
Did you start in the special or did you go
parachute? I started off in the parachute regiment.
Right, okay.
To get me started, And just check that I did enjoy jumping out of aeroplanes and doing silly things, which I did. And then I sort of wanted to step up from that, go with the big boys. And I spent 12 years with them. And, I loved that. It was me. I wanted to be a soldier. I made myself be a soldier and done some great stuff. And then when I come to the end of the career of that, I was like, I'd had enough of doing all these things. I'd done everything I wanted to do. Next direction was coming, something else. And I'm like, what did you want to do? Want to be a stuntman. Right, go and find out how to become a stuntman. Trained for 4 years, get all my qualifications. As much as I had a lot of stuff already before I become a stuntman, I had to get civilian skills to bolster me up. And then that was the start of the next journey, So it was a great step out of being in the military where you have all that camaraderie with the guys, you're hanging with the guys, you're travelling around the world, and you're doing exciting things. you know, going into the stunt industry was, you know, it was a good stepping stone. Yeah. Great bunch of lads, you know, good fun.
Yeah.
You know, you're out partying together, working hard, you see each other in every sort of physical condition you can imagine. You're, you know, out partying with them, you're training with them, you're working hard and you're trying to look after each other as well. You know, someone's doing a stunt and it's dangerous. You've got to make sure that goes right and they're safe. So there's a nice, tight-knit community that goes on with being a stuntman.
Yeah, brilliant.
And you have to, and, you know, there's a mindset of, like, being okay with a certain level of danger and responsibility and, you know, all those things that you've, you know, for somebody just coming into stunts would have to learn all that. You've got that.
Yeah, it is true, because you have experienced, you know, that stuff for real.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it's funny, when I've come from being in the military and then, you know, become a stuntman, I will tell you in a little while, because I'm going to go on to a job that I'd done, but I expected everything to be like what I did in the military. Well, because in the military, you put your life on the line a lot. You know, and when you become a stuntman, I thought, you're going to be doing it all the time. Well, we don't want to hurt ourselves. We try our best not to hurt ourselves, don't we?
Yeah.
You know, but, you know, occasionally it happens. But you were trying to eliminate all the danger. But, you know, it's when you get a job where, you know, it's life-threatening, it's very few and far between they come up. But
yeah.
I did have one.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. I mean, can we talk on that? Is the Batman job?
Yeah.
Unbelievable,
which,
Dave.
Which Batman?
So I did, well, I've done all of the Batman movies, but the last one, Dark Knight Rises, we got offered to do the opening sequence, which was basically a plane transfer where we've got a Hercules aircraft flying over a smaller band around the aircraft, four guys jump out on lines.
That's the Bane sequence, right? Is that the sequence with Bane in one of the planes?
Bane's the lower aircraft, so where he's going to come to rescue him. And the stunt's never been done before. You know, and it was put out to us and we're like, wow, yeah, we're at that. There was me and three of the other stunt guys that I know really well. Fortunately, all ex-military.
So, sorry, I interrupted you then. Can you explain what the stunt was again?
Bane comes off out of mountainside somewhere on a small aircraft. He's got American legal forces holding him. And he flies off out of these mountains. Great shot, this aircraft flying through these valleys. And then all of a sudden, this great big Hercules flies over the top of it. Basically, four guys jump out the back of the Hercules. And we're on lines. We're attached to the aircraft by 100 foot of line. We jump out, we fly along behind the aircraft. And you see a limited amount of this in the movie. Actually, that was the biggest part for us learning to do this, because it's never been done before. You know, to have four guys hanging behind an aircraft that's doing 130 knots at 13,000 foot, trying to be stable when you're underneath the tower and the thrust from the engines is ridiculous on a massive aircraft like that. So trying to keep stable in formation and then fly over another aircraft ready to land on it. Obviously, in real time, you can't land on another aircraft that's got turboprop engines, because it would have been mincemeat. Yeah. But so we shot it that it looked like we landed on the aircraft. Then we cut to, there's some studio stuff that was done, which I've never done. We'd done all the real stuff. But then in the sequence, we'd be on the side of the aircraft as it's flying along, and you're shooting through the windows where, you know, all the guys are inside the aircraft, and this is flying through the valleys. I've got an engine there that's trying to blow my arm off of me. I've got an oxygen mouth that's going like this, and I'm trying to hold on with one hand on this aircraft, shooting through the window while that's flying along at like 140 knots. It's like, not that easy.
And didn't you have to cut away at certain points and pull the chute?
So the whole idea is we rescue Bane. They, you know, we board the aircraft, get Bane, drop this aircraft out of the way. When we're doing the stunts, the rehearsal of the stunts, so we're jumping out of the aircraft. There's four of us being flown behind this aircraft. Obviously, we had to rehearse this with dummies, you know, testing the right lengths of line that we could use so we didn't get too much turbulence, but it was right for the shot. And then we would start going out ones, then twos, and they said they wanted us to do four in formation, which was never that easy, because when you're jumping from a C-130, underneath the tail fin of that aircraft, air does some unusual stuff. It doesn't work like physics is supposed to work. It's a crazy area to be in.
Yeah.
So when you jump out there, you've got to keep in perfect symmetry, in perfect formation. You go without a twitch in you. Otherwise, that slight twitch will throw you out. That throws you into your buddy. That buddy then gets bounced into the next guy. You end up wrapped up in a pile of mess behind his lines, who ran 30 mile an hour behind the aircraft, which happened on a few occasions.
So you both, you all wrapped up behind the aircraft?
Oh, yes. Yeah, yeah, we're like little conker balls bouncing around behind the back of this aircraft.
Unbelievable.
So, yeah, we had quite an event getting to, you know, get the stunt working.
And was it, am I right in saying you had a limited landing zone as well?
So yeah. So we go back to what you said earlier, did we cut away? Yes, we did. So we'd have a cut away device here. As much as in the film, you see the whole stunt carry on until, you know, we go inside the aircraft. Real time, we jump out the aircraft, we fly behind the aircraft in formation, get the gag, get it under camera, and then basically what we've got, quick release here, pull that, we tumble off, and then we parachute down. What normally would be a nice DZ, which would be nice and flat. We're doing this up in the Cairngorm Mountains in Scotland. So the DZ's like this, big mountains, lakes, trees, rivers, you name it. So you've done the stunt, which was pretty dangerous, and then you've got to land, which was even more dangerous.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, every time you jumped and you went to land, like, are we going to get away with this one?
Did anyone get caught out on it?
Oh, we had a few things that went wrong with it. And like I say, it was nothing to do with what we'd done wrong. It was just nature of the baby we were dealing with. You know, it was never been done before. It's never been tested before. So everything was the unknown. And we had one of our guys broke his femur. Another one of my pals landed in a roof, which, you know, so, he landed in a roof. And bear in mind, we're in the Cairngorm Mountains. There's not many
houses
around. Right. And this one day, you know, people, you landed in a roof. Okay, we jumped out of this aircraft at 60 knots wind, which, a normal parachute is only able to parachute in the upper 20s knots, mid 20 knots.
Really?
It's doing 60 knots of wind. So we've come out, we're parachuting, we come down into the mountains. I'm the lead man. So basically, if you open up on a parachute, military-wise, you will follow the lead man. So you will stay together, you fly down in formation, and you try and land together. So there was an injury, you're all there to deal with it.
Right. Yeah.
In a military operation, you're there together to go off.
Yeah.
And I'd come in down, and I'm looking for, there was an area that we tried to land in. Big trees there, but it was a little bit of flat ground. Looking at that, and it's flying away from me. I'm like, not going to make that. So you assess another DZ where you can land. I'm like, right, I'm going to go there. Flew past that, and I'm going backwards on the ground like this, ain't good. And then last minute, I managed to turn, come in and land, managed to get my parachute down, watch my other friend land next to me, and my other pal just drifted off and just went spank into this roof of this house that just happened to be there, where there's this nothing elsewhere, and there was this roof, and he hit this. And I was watching him, but bear in mind, I'm not thinking he fell in the roof.
No.
We got galing winds. He's got a parachute above his head.
Oh,
he's hit the roof. He's gone into it up to, halfway through his body, and the parachute's still inflated. But it pulled, he could have got stuck, and it could have snapped him in half. Lucky enough, the parachute got caught onto the chimney stack of this building, and he got away with it. And fortunate enough, opposite this building was another building, the only two buildings for miles. And a guy come out, my mate went, hello, mate, just pop in for a cup of tea. Turned out to be a photographer of the press. He got a load of pictures and stuck it all over the newspapers. But, you know, that was part of one of the fun elements of that gag.
I mean, to watch that gag is unbelievable.
Has anyone done anything like that since? That you're aware of?
No, they haven't.
So that's like a one-time thing in the world.
Yeah, so it's never been done before or again. You know, the closest we've seen of something like this, doing plane-to-plane transfer with Simon Crane on Cliffhanger.
Yeah. You know. Jet-to-jet
transfer.
Transfer. Wow. Literally went from one to the other.
Is there ever a point when, you know, when your landing points are like rushing past you and you're aware that you're doing this in the, you know, jumping out at 60 knots when normally that would not be being done, when you're like, this is a film. Is this worth it?
It is. You have to do all that beforehand. Because once you go up, because we knew when we took this gag on, this was going to be really dangerous because it hadn't been done. We knew because all of us, you know, the four of us that were involved in the main shoot of it, because that was our background, we know the possibilities of things going wrong. You know, they go wrong, they go seriously wrong, and you're in big trouble.
Yeah.
And so we expected that. But you actually never know the things that will go wrong. You can rehearse for it, you can put a thought pattern behind it. It's like, that's going to happen. You know, parachute don't deploy, I'm going to do this. You know, the aircraft, you know, turns funny, causing me turbulence, I'm going to do this. But it's always the thing you don't think about that's going to happen.
Yeah.
And I will tell
you. There were so many variables in that.
There were so many variables, and variables we couldn't even count. I mean, there was three situations that we thought that could come up were potentially fatal. Yeah. Each one of those happened.
And you all
and
got away.
How we lived through it, I don't know.
Really?
And then it goes back to what I said earlier on. When I come from the military and become a stuntman, I'd always, you know, wanted to do a job, you know, where I thought it was going to be life-threatening, which just sounds weird to everybody else. Yeah, but when you come from the military, you're putting your life on the line a lot, and you do get a buzz from that, you know? Yeah. When you get the Grim Reaper coming to look at you, you're like, you have to pick your game up, and you're dueling with him. And, you know, this job come up, and it's like, yep, this is going to be dangerous, and then we started doing it. And it was.
Back in the lines then.
Yeah, it was. It was back in the lines then. And, you know, you're doing this stunt, where you're there, your wits are, you're like electric. Yeah. You know, everything comes alive because you've got to be on the ball. Because that one mistake could potentially kill you, you know. And it was funny, I was telling someone this story the other night. And one of the things that happened, we jumped out, we'd done the gag. We were flying along in formation, we got it filmed, and they decided to retrieve us into the aircraft this one day, i.e. so they winch us back in, where normally we'd cut off.
Yeah.
This time they decided to winch us in. Well, we'd been flying behind an aircraft for 5 minutes in formation, 13,000 foot, 130 knots. It gets pretty bloody cold. As much as we've got all the equipment, we've got oxygen masks and, you know, thermal layers on, it still gets cold. You imagine the chill factor. So when it retrieved us in, which would take 3 minutes per person, so you can only take one at a time. By the time the last man got in, he's frozen solid. And this one day, they said, right, we'd rehearsed it. We said, it's not really feasible to do it, but this one, no, we were going to do it over the Cairngorm Mountains. And we'd done the gag. They started retrieving us. And we started getting bumpy air, you know, and a bit of clad and turbulent. So you're on a line that's 100 foot behind a Hercules aircraft at flicks. You go up in the air.
Of course, yeah.
We start hitting heavier banks of clad. We start hitting rain. When you hit rain at speed, it's like needles hitting you. So we're flying through this. The cloud's getting thicker and thicker. You know, 1 minute, my friend would be flying next to me there. Next minute, I can't see him. You know, you can't see the aircraft. Then you can see the aircraft. You can't see the aircraft. You're getting more and more turbulence. As one guy's getting winched in, the other one behind him hits turbulence. He then bounces around our lines. So we've got a man wrapped around our lines. There's two of us at the back here, and we get flicked all over the air. So we hit each other, potentially it would kill us.
Yeah.
So we're like, this is getting dodgy. We, you know, it's time maybe we have to cut away and get away from this. And the decision was made for us. You know, the cloud was getting heavier, it was getting soaking wet. The plane was disappearing, then it comes back, disappearing. I felt this jerk. And then just as I looked up, just a clearing in the cloud, and I could see the line, my line of tracks the aircraft come flying out. Now, this was our second worst scenario we could have. And it makes you come alive. And this is when I realised I weren't quite right, when I went, right, oh, David, let's see if you can live through this one.
Yeah, nice, yeah.
And you switch on and everything, it becomes slow motion. Even if it's going so fast, you'll have to be aware of everything. So you speed up, so it slows everything down. And you're watching everything, right, is that going to kill me? Is that going to kill me? I've got to do this. The lines come out of the aircraft, the clouds gathered round me again. I couldn't see nothing. I've got a 100-foot line attached to me and floating in the air. I've got thick cloud around me. I could barely see my altimeter, you know, on my arm. Rain's hitting me, and I'm like, I've got to get rid of this line. And I can't get rid of it until I know where I am in conjunction with it, because I want to look, see it, and fly away.
Yeah.
To open in the cloud. See it, cut away, I span and tracked off. So you can fly in direction away. But I went straight back into heavy cloud. When you're in heavy cloud, you lose all awareness of where you are, what's around. So as much as I think I'm flying away, I could be flying in a circle to it. Well, so I'm falling through this heavy cloud, hoping this line's disappeared somewhere. And I know at 6,000 foot, I've got to pull my parachute because there's mansions at 4,000 foot and I don't want to slam into them. So we're falling in, like I say, everything has slown down because I'm going so.
A valley, yeah, unbelievable.
And that's the thing, you had all those thoughts in what was probably, what, 4 seconds or like what? Yeah.
Yeah, probably a bit more than that. I mean, you'd be probably about 30 seconds.
Right, yeah.
But so I'm falling and through this thick cloud, knowing there's a mountain below me. Can't see it, thick cloud, looking at me, I'll see, I'm like, I've got to throw my parachute. Dump my parachute, waiting for this line to hit me on the head because I weren't sure whether I'd flown away from it. I'm like, yeah, I've got away with that one. You're doing all right here, Davey. I'm flying down on this parachute and looking down at this thick cloud. It slowly starts breaking. And I'm seeing through it. And it was the most fantastic sight. I always remember this. I'm high up in the Cairngorm Mountains. These beautiful mountains around with snow on the top of them. Lakes around me. I'm like, oh, this is brilliant. This is great. And I look down, there's a big lake underneath me. And I'm like, got a lad somewhere here. And I'm looking around. With mountains, you get weird things that happen with winds. You don't want to get too close to them because they could bang you into the side of the mountain. So I've looked for the only patch of dry area and managed to see it, go for it, and landed on it. And wow. You're like, you go, well, that was cool. And I mean, and I lived.
Going home to the hotel after that?
Well, it was buzzing. Funny. I got picked up by a helicopter. Far off attack B, a helicopter comes, picked us in. Took us, picked my pal up, Neil Finnegan, and landed not too far away from me because he'd seen me go, so he thought he'd better be out there too. We flew back to the Inverness Airport where we were flying out of, and a Herc had just landed. I was like, well, I've got a story to tell them. Well, we get back there to see him, and they're all like, you know, like they've seen a ghost. It was like, oh, what's happened? Oh, man. And we was about to tell them this big story that's happened to us. So they said, well, when we were flying along, we hit this cloud, and the Herc hit this ice cloud, so full of ice particles. This Hercules aircraft is flying 130 knots, close to its stall speed with full flaps, so it's going as slow as it can to pull us behind it. Where it's got this extra payload of ice on it, it now wants to stall out of the sky. And the pilot said to me, he said, this, the cockpit lit up red. And he said, the only way we was going to be able to, you know, deal with this is to put full power on the engines, knock the nose down to get speed up. He said, if it stalled at that altitude, it would have crashed. So we've now parachuted, we're falling down into the valley. There's one of the guys that managed to get back into the aircraft. The other one's still on the line when they're in this ice cloud. So he's frozen, aircraft's frozen, and now the aircraft's done this.
And he's behind.
And we had cameras all over the aircraft, so we've all seen the footage of this, footage of this. And he's behind it, underneath the tail, you know, the tail fin, and all of a sudden he's gone, bash, under the top of it, bash, under, and he's getting rattled around. Really? There's guys hanging out the back of him, trying to pull him in, and got him in, and he's frozen and solid. But we all survived. It was like, yeah, that was a good day at work.
And I've got it's one of the best stunts in the last 10 years, I think. Anyway,
oh, thank you, it's epic, thank you. So. I could be a part of it. You know, it was a fun job. And then getting down to that thing, I said to the boys in the pilot and I went, you know what? Not been scared on this job once yet. I said, but I did think one of us was gonna die. And they all went, yep, we're lucky to be here, you know. And amazing. That was that me becoming the stuntman I always wanted to be, where I'd looked at a job and thinking, oh, I might die. It was like, yep, that's where you wanted to go to. That's the place I wanted to be.
So that is like undoubtedly like part of the attraction is like the closeness to that.
It's that buzz of coming close. I know with me, I'm not like everyone else, but I know I get that buzz of coming close to your maker.
I've always said you're only living when you're nearly dying, aren't you?
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
That sounds very stressful to me.
Yeah.
But we're not all cut out for the same stuff.
Yeah.
Now, another story I wanted to get out of you today was the fight with Robert Downey Jr. Because, I mean, it's an epic feature for yourself. And it was in the Sherlock Holmes, the first one, wasn't it?
It was, yeah.
Yeah, the Guy Ritchie one. And do you mind just explaining the situation?
Yeah, so basically, called me in for this job, fight scene. I was an ex-boxer, so it works for me. So they basically wanted this overweight, you know, old boxer to have a little dust-up with Rob Downey Jr. And at the time, he was really fit. You know, he did look good. But I'm playing a part. You know, so it wasn't I'm doubling someone. So I knew the camera's going to come in tight on me. And then when you're doing a fight scene, if the camera's in tight on you, you know, you've got really hard work hard to make those punches look good where it's, you know, looks like it's hitting the face, but it isn't. And that was all well and good. And then it brought out the Phantom camera, which takes up to about 1,800 frames per second. And I see that, I'm like, we ain't going to be able to do this. There's no way we're going to have to sell throwing a punch and reacting to it and make it good for the whole sequence that we're doing. And I looked at Robert and I'm like, he's not going to knock me out. Well, I was hoping he weren't going to knock me out. He was a bit small and I'm like...
I like how he's sussing that. He's not going to knock me out. It's all right.
He's not going to embarrass me at that stage. And I couldn't have that. All the lads, hey, Robert Downey Jr. knocked you out. And I thought, no, yeah, I think we'd be able to do this for real. So I said to the stunt coordinator and said to Robert, I said, look, let's do it for real. Like, Rob Daniel Jr. did not want to be hitting me for real. I said, look, I'm an ex-boxer. I said, you know, I think it's the only way we're going to make this sequence work. You know, just do it for real. He's like, all right, OK, we'll do it. So basically, we went on to him spending 2 days punching me in the face. You know, and, you know, I've got to take my hat off to the guy that he didn't want to do it. He didn't. And you can imagine standing in front of someone for 2 days and just clobbering. He wasn't hitting me light. He was hitting me, you know, and he smashed me in the face. And then, you know, we get cut and everyone's going mental behind the, you know, playback monitor because they're just seeing, oh, my face totally distorted. And it's amazing what your face does when someone punches you. I mean, yeah. Some of the stuff obviously they couldn't put it out on the screen because it wouldn't have got its rating. But your face totally deforms, you know. And it was getting such great stuff. Guy Ritchie was like, wow, this is brilliant. So we carried on doing it. And then there was one part in it where Robert hit me once and he caught me in the jaw. Well, now and again, my jaw would dislocate. I used to do it in the ring. And it cracked out like that, but it makes a hell of a noise. And he's hit me and you could hear this crack. And they've gone cut afterwards. They went, was that your jaw? I'm going, yeah. So I made sure I put my jaw out. So he whacked me on the other side to straighten it out. Yeah. But it was fun for me. After your first couple of punches and your face goes numb, it was fun because the reaction I was getting off of everybody else, it wasn't like we was like making this great bit of footage. I was finding it funny because everyone was like, my God, are you mad? And I'm like, I'm only getting punched in the face. Falling on the floor bloody hurts, but, you know, getting punched in the face is a different thing.
I mean, the rib shot, the slow-mo rib shot when he does the right hook on your ribs, it's a big hit, you know? It's like, oh,
He was hitting me, you know?
Did he buy you a drink afterwards?
I think he wanted to buy me a load of drinks.
Yeah, nice,
No, it was great. And, I had a lot of respect for him because he weren't just, oh, well, he's stuntman, I'll do this all week long. He didn't want to be doing it.
Well, no.
And I'm forcing him, like, look, we get some great stuff here, Rob. Let's, you know, just carry on with it. I don't like hitting you. It's not nice.
Yeah, I'm glad he had that reaction.
Yeah, he could have really relished it.
How much of it as well is, how much of the buzz is that, what you sort of talked about then where, you know, you do get, like, the reaction of other people going like, oh, my God, that's crazy.
Yeah.
Like, do you like being, feeling, like, set apart? Like,
it's a buzz, isn't it? Yeah. It's excitement. Like, you get in a boxing ring and you fight with people. They're all cheering for you. That's the buzz. And so when you're on a film set, it's... If you get an acknowledgement, not just from, you know, the director and the cameraman, but everyone on the set, they start paying attention. They're like, blimey, what's going on there? This is brilliant, you know? And it does give you a buzz. So yeah. It just makes it easier for you to do. And you're doing it to, you're entertaining everyone. I do my job for a laugh and enjoyment.
Well, that's what but it is like, you know, you guys all like, put your lives on the line in many cases to make these amazing sequences and like entertain the rest of us and like, but I yeah no it's just it is an amazing thing what you guys do.
Crazy, isn't it?
Yeah, crazy.
I was just talking about your fighting career. Obviously, a couple of years ago we had the stunt fight night, didn't we? The charity fight night, and we've had Brian interviewed on camera, and he was talking about yourself.
That wasn't
that and like obviously you and Brian, you can get out of hand sometimes, can't you? And on the charity fight night, it was so funny because it was all set up. It was all like nice and, you know, everyone was having fun. And then all of a sudden your fight come up and everyone went, are they being serious?
Yeah.
You rolled out of the ring. Everyone was surrounded by me. It went over tables. It was brilliant. It was so much fun. But Brian said that, you know, you're one of his favourite people to beat up. I mean, is it the same?
No, it's true. It's funny. I'm fought with lots of people on camera. Brian's the only one I can fight with and just don't worry about it.
Right.
In our earlier, in fact, I remember, in fact, Brian was the first person I ever met when I first became a stuntman. we went for an audition that we failed miserably on, but we clicked. He was a boxer, I was a boxer, and then we'd just become good friends. And we'd go away on all these jobs, and we'd always take our gloves with us, so we'd always be sparring, teaching the guys to fight. And if we're on set, we're bored, we'd attack each other. We'd just start beating the hell out of each other.
Yeah.
You know, the bruises and cuts and blood that would come out. I mean, we're mates. It was just scare the guys because we'd probably go for it.
Oh, mate, I've been there. I've been like, that's scary. They look like they're having a real fight.
Yeah.
And it's like, are we going to jump in? It's like, who's going to stop them? Because I'm not going to stop them. Yeah.
And we do it for reaction as well. You know, more people go, oh my God, they're doing it for real, the more we get involved with each other.
Brilliant.
And I think because we've had all those years of fighting each other, you know, I know how tough Brian is. He's one of the toughest guys I've met.
Yeah.
You know, and you can punch him, it does nothing to him. So whenever we're on set, generally if we're doing a fight scene, we'd probably rehearse or coordinate maybe four of the moves.
Yeah.
And then it's free fall. We just start hitting each other. Yeah. And then he'll generally catch me one or I'll catch him one. He'll like, oh yeah, and then it's a real fight. And everyone generally goes after me and Brian fight. It's like, was that real? It was like, well, yeah, I suppose so.
Yeah.
Like, God.
I've just asked a few of the boys this. Have you had a fight with James Bond?
I've been shot by him.
Oh, you've been shot by Bond?
Shot
that's
by Bond.
Right.
That's pretty good. That yeah. definitely counts.
Batman?
Yes, I've had a few punch-ups in the Batman.
Superhero films?
Yep, I've had a few punch-ups in the superhero films, nice. Yeah. Don't ask me how many of them I've done. I've done a few.
Yeah. Can you list off just some of the credits of some of the great films that you enjoyed?
Oh, God. The ones I enjoyed, well, I suppose my favourite film to work on was The Batman because that was, you know, the pinnacle of where I wanted to become as a stuntman, doing a gag where I, thought I was going to come close to meeting my maker. So that was the one. It was great to work on it. The crew that worked on it was great. The Sherlock was because just the reaction I got from everybody.
Yeah.
Rain of Fire, number one. I've done all the aerial sequences in that. So
Rain of Fire.
We were jumping out of helicopters left, right and centre. Doc Martin.
Yeah, you mentioned it earlier. Yeah. It's an English TV series, but you say you love it.
Yeah, now, I go to work to enjoy myself. You know, I want to be in a place with good people that are smiling and happy. And Doc Martin is one of those places. You know, they film it down in the Cornish, like this little fishing village in Cornwall, and it's beautiful. They film it in the summer. Everyone that works on, you know, the set is really chilled, laid back. Martin Clouseau, or generally double on it, is a lovely guy. And it's not like being at work, it's like being paid to go on holiday. Yeah, so no. It's like, it's got to be the best job, isn't it, when you're doing something like that.
And any other great locations that you've enjoyed over the years?
Yes, oh, cool. Yeah, I've had a few. I've been to Thailand, I've been to the States, I've been, Malaysia. New Zealand was a great one. I worked on Spartacus.
Okay.
And I had 4 months out there with a fabulous bunch of guys. I mean, the stunt is out in New Zealand. They're just so friendly and so welcoming.
Yeah.
And, you know, to spend 3 months working with these guys on a great show in a beautiful country. And I just met some fantastic friends out there, And, you know, that was always one that stays in my mind.
Yeah.
You know, Siriana. Worked out in Dubai for a couple of months, driving fast cars around with my pals once again.
Yeah.
Just having a great time. Doubling George Clooney. Well, I doubled him at one point.
Oh, you look like him, nice.
I know I look just like George Clooney. I know.
How
that come about, I don't know.
Have you had any injuries as a result of
this? Oh, God, where do you want to start?
Start from the top and work down.
Yeah. No, I started, lost my brain many years ago.
How many concussions?
It's funny, I was telling you about, when I was younger, when I was 13, I blew myself up with a gallon of stuff called nitromethane. I was burned head to toe, come very close to dying. So I've got a skin graft all down this arm, you know, scars all over me.
And wait, how and why?
Did you say that? Well, that was just in life, that wasn't on a film.
This was just in life. Okay. So that sort of got me started to think, I might as well get paid for this. You know, I lived through that one, I might as well see. And that's the worst one of them. Being burnt is way much worse than any other injury you can take.
So
that was my first big injury. I'd done loads as a kid and come a stunt man, going from the top down, right? So I've got a shoulder here, my collarbone snapped, and it sticks up in here, which you know about, Dave. It looks pretty gross.
It's like a golf ball on the top of his arm.
Yeah. Okay. I've got a snap rotator cuff here, so pulling this arm up is not very good. I've got a rib here that's broken, that never reattached, that floats around every now and again and doubles me up. I've got 2 metal hips, so they've been replaced. I've got just a big bolts there in my leg. I smashed, which I remember which one, that one, that's the worst one. Smashed that one on a film called Cold Mountain. I had to do a 40-foot jump into a box rig, and as I landed, my knee just went... So I shattered the ball joint, done the ACL, and fractured this, that and the other. So that's been rebuilt. This one, I... How did I break that? This one was on Emmerdale. a car hit me, which it wasn't supposed to hit me at the time, sent me flying over the windscreen. My leg went snap and I severed a tendon in this hand here. Yeah,
you've had a bad thing.
And I beep a lot when I go through the airport.
Yeah, me and you both, yeah.
What were your various things you did to get on the register? What were your things?
All right, so what was my skills? Skydiving, microlighting, hang gliding, boxing, gymnastics, fencing, swimming, and there was one other, climbing.
Wow, so you did more than required.
I had a few skills before I got on, and right. Some of them I just had to get the civilian qualification for them. Some I had already. I mean, hang gliding used to be my sport, so I used to do loads of that, so that was always there. So I thought I'd better come on with a few more so they couldn't say no.
No,
so
I don't know how that works.
Brilliant. And any regrets in your career at all?
No, I haven't.
Have you always loved it, Dave?
No, yeah. I've enjoyed my journey as a stuntman.
Yeah.
You know, I really have. You know, I've got some great friends in the stunt industry. You know, we all think alike. We're all a little bit touched on, you know, and to hang around with guys like that and, you know, just have fun doing jobs, you're getting paid good money to do stuff that people don't get to do.
Yeah, you know? And it's would you always carry on performing if you can?
Yeah, I love performing.
Yeah.
I've become a stuntman to be a stuntman.
Yeah, you know?
It's like a joint in the army to do all that stuff. I'll become a stuntman to, as long as the body holds out, I'll keep going.
Brilliant. Dave, thanks so much.
Hey, that was great, man.
Excellent.
Thanks for those
stories.
Yeah,
really appreciate it.
Unbelievable.
Thanks for coming in and really appreciate it. Okay, thanks again, Dave, for joining us. Hope you've enjoyed this episode on Cunning Stunts. We'll have another one for you next week. Until then, take care.
Ripple Production podcast series produced by myself, David Holmes, and Amy Stairs. Sound recording, editor, and music by Joe Lamb. To find out more about us, please visit our website, www.rippleproductions.co.uk, or follow us on Facebook and Instagram.